groups, opposition leaders, and federal employees. Judges will be assassinated. Democrats and moderate Republicans will be jailed on bogus charges. Black churches and synagogues bombed. Pedestrians picked off by snipers in city streets. And federal agents threatened with death should they enforce federal law. The goal will be to reduce the strength of the federal government and those who support it, while also intimidating minority groups and political opponents into submission. The U.S. is not yet in a civil war, but a 2012 declassified report by the CIA on insurgencies outlines the signs. According to the report, a country is experiencing an open insurgency when sustained violence by increasingly active extremists has come the norm. By this point, violent extremists are using sophisticated weapons such as improvised explosive devices and begin to attack vital infrastructure such as hospitals, bridges, and schools, rather than just individuals. These attacks also involve a large number of fighters, some of whom have combat experience. There is often evidence, according to the report, of insurgent penetration and subversion of the military, police, and intelligence services. In this early stage of civil war, extremists are trying to force the population to choose sides, in part by demonstrating to citizens that the government cannot keep them safe or provide basic necessities. The goal is to incite a broader civil war by denigrating the state and growing support for violent measures. Insurgency experts wondered whether January 6 would be the beginning of such a sustained series of attacks. This has not yet happened, in part because of aggressive countermeasures by the FBI. The FBI has arrested more than 700 individuals who participated in the riot, charging 225 of them with assaulting, resisting, or impeding officers or employees. Stuart Rhodes, the leader of the Oath Keepers, will almost certainly go to jail for his role in helping to organize the insurrection, as will numerous other participants. But this setback is likely to be temporary. Civil war experts know that two factors put countries at high risk of civil war. The U.S. has one of these risk factors and remains dangerously close to the second. Neither risk factor has diminished since January 6. The first is ethnic factionalism. This happens when citizens in a country organize themselves into political parties based on ethnic, religious, or racial identity rather than ideology. The second is anocracy. This is when a government is neither fully democratic nor fully autocratic. It's something in between. Civil wars almost never happen in full, healthy, strong democracies. They also seldom happen in full autocracies. The violence almost always breaks out in countries in the middle, those with weak and unstable pseudo-democracies. Autocracy and anocracy plus factionalism is a dangerous mix. We also know who tends to start civil wars, especially those fought between different ethnic, religious, and racial groups. This also does not bode well for the U.S. The groups that tend to resort to violence are not the poorest groups or the most downtrodden. It's the group that had once been politically dominant but is losing power. It's the loss of political status, a sense of resentment that they are being replaced and that the identity of their country is no longer theirs. That tends to motivate these groups to organize. Today, the Republican Party and its base of white Christian voters are losing their dominant position in American politics and society as a result of demographic changes. Whites are the slowest growing demographic in the U.S. and will no longer be a majority of the population by around 2044. Their status will continue to decline as America becomes more multi-ethnic, multiracial, and multi-religious, and the result will be increasing resentment and fear at what lies ahead. The people who stormed the Capitol on January 6 believed they were saving America from this future and felt fully justified in this fight.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Tour the pit.
On Youth Station. Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim, Islam, I Allah, my Lord, His word, Quran, Muhammad, praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, dear listeners and my dear sister Asmaya.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, you're listening to our voice from You Station.
IRB English Radio.
Our beautiful station. Yes. I love it.
Yeah, I love it too.
Thank you for being sharing your thoughts in common with me. That is really beautiful.
The pleasure is all mine.
Yeah, thank you for being here with me. I'm really glad. Today we're going to talk about something really controversial that we are facing nowadays in society,
which is
body image.
Yes, the image I have
of your body.
Yeah,
and it is, unfortunately, it is connected to some words like body shame and so on.
Oh yeah,
we are struggling with, unfortunately, in this society. I actually noticed that when I go through social media and something, and I see some beautiful women that are, their bodies are perfect, their skin is perfect,
yes,
their hair is perfect,
see?
And this perfection will kind of actually go on my nerve. And I feel like, why not me? And this feeling of why not me actually is the problem.
Yeah, that's very true, Bita. Now, I can relate to that as well. When you see the skin of some people, then you can't believe, oh God, what happened to them and what happened to me?
Exactly. And the problem is that it is not only celebrities.
Yeah.
You are seeing and watching your friends, your own friends in social media, that they post some pictures of themselves. You know it is Photoshop or anything, but it doesn't help.
Exactly.
And you feel like, okay, celebrities were celebrities. You know, they are meant to be like that because this is their work. But how about your friends? How about your relatives?
Yeah.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the problem comes from this point that everybody wants to show themselves better than what they are.
Yeah. Now, I have a question in here.
Yeah.
Do men suffer the same thing?
What do you mean by that?
When the man go through media,
I didn't understand a word. Man, exactly, we're not, because we have, we have a standardized, a kind of standards of body shape for both men and women, because we need money from both groups.
I would say men go through it in a lowered format.
I do not agree. Who are the young men just, they are going to gym and they are using some drugs to,
nowadays, make their body muscles. Nowadays, it has been a trend, you know. Nowadays, gym has become a trend, like the book thing that everyone is buying, because it has been a trend.
So what? You're telling me that men are not suffering these
problems? No. See what I'm saying. I say, you're very true. By the advent of technology and the growth of media, you can see that we have access to too much of things and sources. We see beautiful women, and the men would see some beautiful bodies, like those Hercules bodies.
Yeah.
And there are too much of cuts upon that. And then the women, all the bodies, and then, all of these images are beautiful. But then, as a woman, you're going to go through too much more of problems,
Again, it is because of men, I think. You know why? Because
I agree.
For who you are, Miss of Beautiful, for who you cannot be satisfied with whatever
to
you are.
To some extent, I agree. But
what do you mean to some
other
extent?
I would say that a woman, as being a delicate being, she would love herself to be the perfect picture of beauty. You know what I mean?
I know that, but what is this tendency? Where it comes from?
Beauty.
I know it comes from beauty. I mean, you are seeking for beauty as a human being. So why?
Because I would love to look beautiful.
Why? For the roots.
I love to look beautiful.
What is the reason that you want to look beautiful or something?
Well, I told you, because beauty is something nice and attractive.
So you're doing it for yourself?
Of course. I do it
but
for
you're,
myself.
Sometimes, not you, but some people are just bothering themselves.
I know what you say, and I agree with it.
Yeah.
Okay? That's why I said to some extent. Yeah. To some extent. I don't want to say the majority.
Yeah.
Let's be honest and say.
Is not good.
Some women would go for beauty with the intention to attract the attention. But there are some others.
This is natural, of course.
Yeah, right? Natural, yes. But there are some others who would do that solely for the sheer fact of beauty.
Beauty.
Yeah.
I know it. And as you know, it leads to some cosmetic surgeries, makeup, and so on, which we just wanted to be a cliffhanger for the next part of our episode. Mm. So stay tuned, dear listeners.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back. This is Youth Station.
And we're talking about beauty, and you left it on a very spicy cliffhanger.
Yeah, cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, cosmetic surgery.
Do you agree with that? Are you that much kind of brave to go under cosmetic surgery?
It is not called brave.
It
I don't
is.
Call it being brave. No, it is not brave.
Okay,
it
okay.
is how much you want to look beautiful. How
yeah.
much you risk to get into that beautiful sculpture.
I won't risk that much myself.
Me too. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. It is somehow scary. Why should you go under surgery when it's not that much necessary? You know, necessary. I feel
yeah.
something extra, you know, unnecessary thing that you are doing. Why? You know, who is the one who decided to the shape of your nose?
Exactly.
Who yeah. says that, for
and
example,
tell you something, Mita,
a tiny nose is
in
more
past,
beautiful?
In past, people
yeah.
were unique. And, you know, when you looked at different
exactly.
women, they were really different. And each of them were beautiful in their own way. One had a beautiful eye. The other one had a beautiful eyebrow. The other one had a beautiful chin. I don't know. Things
but now
different
they're the same.
But
yeah.
now...
You cannot even differentiate them.
Exactly. Even their body is going to be the same.
Exactly.
All of them are going to be like
and
they have been copy-pasted.
This is not a problem that they are all copy-paste. The problem comes from the point that these standard shapes will be changed one day.
Yeah,
this is the problem. What
exactly.
should you do? For example, maybe one day will come that, for example, the, I don't know, tiny nose is not beautiful. What
big
would you
nose
do?
Is beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. You will go under another surgery to make your nose big again.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
just imagine
that. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is actually the truth.
Who is setting these rules? These
the
standards.
The one who's searching for money. This is the easy answer that we can give to this point. As you know, in every decade and every time you look at the past even, you will understand that in every situation there were some standards of beauty. For example, even in our own country, there were a time that fat women were so beautiful
yeah,
with mustache.
Yeah.
Even with mustaches, you
yeah.
know, the pictures of them is available again. But nowadays, they are actually considered ugly. Maybe one day we'll come that again. They will be beautiful. And what is this vicious circle that the standards always change? I think this comes from the condom called benefit of some groups of people.
Yeah. Yeah,
for
that's
example,
very true. The models,
yeah.
you know, because people usually follow these models that they are all perfect and they have no deficiencies in their body or in their face. Therefore, they create these sort of standards, I guess.
Exactly. And I don't count it as a problem, but... the way you are challenging that exactly is the thing.
Exactly.
Know?
That is the problem. Because,
yeah.
You know, some girls, some young girls go through too much and they risk many things to get
yeah.
that much perfect.
Some dangerous diets even.
Exactly, yeah. Which leads to some serious sickness.
Exactly, you know, there are even some disorders, some eating disorders that, for example, there are a group of people, teenagers especially, that they eat less than what they should and they
yeah.
are skin and, I don't know,
they're a bunch
called?
Of bones
and skin, yeah?
Yeah.
And, but again, they feel like they have to go through this diet.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
is the reason?
The reason is all the money that is made by the factories, great factories that
yeah.
are supporting special brands or whatever. They bring some special models that are beautiful and so perfect, and then they make them the paragons of beauty. And then all the men and women are going to follow these models. whether it be men or women.
Yeah.
But then the solution, well, I guess we have to educate ourselves.
But it's not enough.
Education is going to do too much, actually. I know it's not enough because the environment you're surrounded with is also going to have a very important impact on you. See, I'm living with plenty much of people that are themselves.
Yeah.
They did not wear any mask and they don't like to be perfect, right? But what if I have friends that are all fashionable? They go for fashion every now and then. They go to gym. They try so hard to be perfect pictures. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then that is going to have effects on me. I am going to feel like, okay, it's a competition. Why I'm not entering this competition?
Yeah,
I should
win
as well. Yeah, I have to win it.
Yeah.
So this is the whole story. If I educate myself and if I pick the right people around me and if my parents are that mature enough to teach me that your value is not going to be considered by the way you look. By the way you look, by your skin, by your perfect body is not going to define you, then and it should start from a very early age, from when you are a child.
Exactly.
You know?
And more than this education, I want to go through the self-satisfaction and self-esteem.
Uh-huh. This
that
is
you have to grow in yourself. And this self-satisfaction comes from when you decide to be beautiful in the way you are.
Exactly.
You know, and you have to understand that you are the one who standardized the beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you are beautiful. Who says? Who decides?
No, according to whom? Are. Who said that a skinny girl is the most beautiful girl in the world?
And you know, nobody actually, and you shouldn't go through the point that, okay, I want to be like that, I want to be like this. I think you have to make health your priority.
Mm, yeah. And something else, you know, again, media is going to do too much. I don't know if you have noticed or not, but recently some celebrities are, I don't want to call them obese because they're not that much fat, but they no longer are skinny.
Exactly. I did notice
and
that.
And that really changes the idea of people. They start to love fat people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, all of these things subconsciously is going to have an impact on society.
And even I think we can use these technologies to show the people that you, no matter what color skin you have, what kind of hair you have, mm-hmm. I don't know, black is beautiful, white is beautiful.
Exactly.
Everything is beautiful. It depends on the way you see it. The beauty is in
see,
the
variety
eyes of the beholder.
Is different.
Yeah.
Variety is so different. Difference is very lovely. To have different features is a very attractive thing. When you walk in the street and then you see all the women are the same or the men are the same, then that is not beautiful.
And you are not as them. Yeah. If it's like, okay, I'm a stranger. I'm a lion.
I'm a misfit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but then we shouldn't think like that. As I told you, we have to educate ourselves. Parents have got a great role. Schools have got a great impact.
Exactly.
Society, as having the control and because, you know, society has got the power, has got the media, and the propaganda is working in there. So society can also have impact on children because all starts from the very early ages of your life.
Yeah.
You have to set a sort of standard in your brain, and you have to believe that I am beautiful the way I am. If someone does not actually appreciate me for who I am, then the problem is with them, not with me.
Exactly. What a beautiful sentence. You know, you have to understand the point that you have to improve your inner self than the outer self or yourself. You have to be healthy. You have to be neat.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
have to be beautiful in your own way. But you shouldn't force yourself to be someone you're not.
Yeah, and don't believe that being like others is the perfect definition of beauty.
Exactly, being yourself.
So we have to keep this in mind that our value is going to be measured by our soul.
Yeah.
And that's the whole story. I know beauty is an attractive thing. I know as women, we have to care about ourselves,
and
as
we
Vita
have
said.
The tendency to be beautiful.
We have to be healthy. We have to care about our even shape and body, but not to an extreme that we forget the truth about our value.
Again, the balance point.
Again, the balance. Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree with that one. And don't forget that. The beauty is
in deepest
the
skin.
Eyes of the beholder.
Yeah, beauty is deepest skin. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder.
And you are the one who decides which is beautiful, which is not.
Exactly.
Don't forget that.
That's it.
This is all.
Yeah.
So, dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode of today. And I know we are all beautiful in our own unique way. Thank you for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Due to increase in the Zionist regime's crimes against oppressed Palestinians in 2022, the resistant groups and the Palestinian Authority have asked the international community to criminalize Israeli violations against Palestinians and to hold the occupying regime accountable for its crimes. The occupying Zionist regime has become so brazen that it regularly slaughters innocent Palestinians quite openly in front of their loved ones. We have taken a look at some of the world media and press's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. Middle East Monitor has more for us. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has called on the international community to criminalize Israeli violations against Palestinians and to hold the occupying regime accountable for its crimes. Hamas released a statement recently marking the Human Rights Day, which was adopted by the United Nations in 1948. The Palestinian Islamic resistance movement Hamas said the world is making this day as the Israeli regime continues to escalate its terror and systematic violations against Palestinians, including deliberate assassinations, land theft, siege and racial discrimination, and segregation. The statement went on to say that the day provides a good opportunity to shed light on the scale and gravity of the unabated Israeli crimes against Palestinians. The Hamas statement added, "It is also a suitable opportunity to remind the whole world of its responsibilities to take actual action to criminalize the occupying regime's violations and colonial settlers' terrorism, work on putting an end to them and prosecuting their perpetrator as war criminals in international courts of law." The movement further stressed that Israeli crimes constitute a flagrant violation of the principles of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the international law, reaffirming its commitment to the legitimate rights of the Palestinian people. Hamas further called on the United Nations and the international community to put an end to Israeli crimes in the occupied territories, particularly in the occupied city of Al-Quds and the West Bank, to end the unjust blockade imposed on the Gaza Strip and enable the Palestinians to defend themselves with all means possible until ending the occupation and establishing an independent Palestinian state with the city of Al-Quds as its capital. Since the start of 2022, the Israeli regime military forces have murdered more than 210 Palestinians, including more than 50 Palestinian children. According to the United Nations, the number of Palestinians martyred by Israel in the occupied West Bank this year alone is the highest for the past 16 years. Incidents of sabotage and violence by Israeli settlers against Palestinians and their property have become almost a daily occurrence throughout the occupied territories, particularly in the occupied West Bank. Palestinian Wafaa news agency has also covered the same story. Palestinian Minister of Foreign Affairs and Expatriates Riyad al-Maliki has handed over to the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, the ICC, a file on the Israeli regime crimes committed against innocent Palestinians. During a meeting at The Hague, the Netherlands, with Karim Khan, the Palestinian Foreign Minister Maliki stressed that the State of Palestine continues to cooperate with the International Criminal Court, the ICC, and the staff of the Prosecutor's Office to submit all documented information that proves that Israeli military and civilian officials have committed serious and continuous crimes against innocent Palestinians. He stressed that all of these crimes fall within the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court, the ICC. The top Palestinian diplomat stressed the importance of the ICC and its role in holding war criminals accountable in the light of the rise to power of the extremist cabinet of terrorist settlers who bluntly expressed their schemes that are based on field executions and forcible expulsion of Palestinians. The Palestinian minister said bringing the criminals before international justice will contribute to the protection of the Palestinian people and deter crimes against innocent Palestinians. As well in his remarks, he called on the International Criminal Court, the ICC prosecutor, to pay a visit to Palestine and give priority to the administration of justice. Palestinian human rights advocates last year held a decision by the International Criminal Court, the ICC, to affirm its full territorial jurisdiction over the occupied Palestinian territories. The Israeli regime is not a member of the International Criminal Court, the ICC, but Palestine was allowed to join back in 2015 and has since called for an investigation into Israeli crimes. The Hague-based court has already opened an investigation into possible war crimes by Israel in both the occupied West Bank and the occupied Gaza Strip. In 2021, the United Nations documented 2,934 grave violations against 1,208 Palestinian children in occupied Palestine and the Gaza Strip. The United Nations Human Rights Council, Human Rights Watch, and other international human rights organizations have charged the Israeli regime with apartheid in the past 2 years. Local and international human rights groups have condemned Israel's excessive use of force and shoot-to-kill policy against Palestinians at a time that mainstream media and Western powers turned a blind eye to the atrocities committed by the Israeli regime against innocent Palestinians. Many believe the Israeli regime will continue with its crimes against Palestinians as long as it enjoys protection and patronage of the United States. Turkey's Anadolu news agency has more for us. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation, the OIC, has called on the United Nations to set up a fact-finding mission to probe the recent fatal shootings of a Palestinian youth by Israeli military in the occupied West Bank. In a statement released recently, the Jeddah-based international organization held Israeli authorities fully responsible for this act. For the repercussions of assassinations and premeditated killings of Palestinians by Israeli troops, urging the United Nations and other concerned international bodies to establish a fact-finding mission to investigate circumstances surrounding the martyrdom of the 22-year-old Amar Mefler. It called on the international community, especially the United Nations Security Council, to fulfill its legal and political obligations, pressure the Israeli regime into stopping such criminal acts, holding the occupying Israeli regime accountable for all of its violations and racist policies, and provide international protection for the Palestinian people. Video footage widely circulated on social media sites showed an Israeli soldier holding Mefler in a headlock by a road in the town of Hawara, south of the city of Nablus in the occupied West Bank, on 2nd of December, as the two men tried to wrestle him away. The man then appears to strike the Israeli soldier before the trooper pulls out a handgun and shoots him several times at point-blank range as the Palestinian youth fell to the ground. Israeli military forces present at the scene prevented residents and ambulances from providing aid to the injured Palestinian youth, provoking clashes with the local population. The Palestinian Ministry of Health said Mefler had attained martyrdom for his critical wounds. The United Nations West Asia envoy, Tor Wennesland, said on Twitter that he was horrified by the latest assassination. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammad Shataya said at the time that the criminal execution of the town of Hawara reflected the extent of organized racism being practiced by the Israeli military. Mohammad Shataya expressed his utter shock and anger over the heartbreaking video footage of Mefler being fatally shot at point-blank range by an Israeli soldier, saying that Israeli soldiers feel assured that they will not be held accountable for their crimes and atrocities, and this emboldens them to repeat such actions. He also urged the International Criminal Court, the ICC, at The Hague in Netherlands, to quickly hold the perpetrators of this crime to account.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, believing in prophets. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of believing in prophets in the Islamic lifestyle. When we say believing in prophets in the Islamic lifestyle, we mean that we need to follow the footsteps of the prophets. Now, if I can give some examples, the things will become clearer than how we need to follow, how we need to believe in the prophets. We know that the Quran is not the book of history, for sure. It is not a book of history, because if it was a book of history, it would have all the names of the prophets, like 124,000 prophets and messengers which were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their names, their date of birth, when they passed away, you know, what they did. Everything should be noted in the Quran. But we see that Quran is only talking about the 2024 prophets only, and not the 124,000 prophets. The reason is that Quran is the book of guidance. The Quran is the book which shows us the role model. And Quran says us that look at the Quran, read the life of these prophets, then you will understand how the other prophets were also living. So basically, these prophets, when we look at their lifestyle, we understand that how the other prophets were living. Therefore, if we can follow the footsteps of these prophets which are mentioned in the Quran, we will be having the right belief on the prophets. We will be living a life with the beliefs in the prophets and the messengers which were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it is necessary to read the life, the story of Adam alayhi salam in the Quran. It is necessary to read the life of Prophet Nuh, for example, Prophet Abraham, Prophet Moses, Prophet Jesus, other prophets, that how they lived, and we must also live according to the lifestyle which they had, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of believing in prophets, and we said that the prophets are the role models, and Quran has talked about the role models for the mankind, and it brought the life of the prophets in the Quran as the role model. Now, if we look at some examples, for example, when we look at the life of the first prophet, Prophet Adam alayhi salam, what is the lesson? Obviously, we want to have an Islamic lifestyle. Therefore, we want to get a lesson from the life of the Prophet Adam. What does the life of Prophet Adam in the Quran tells us, which helps us in order to have an Islamic lifestyle? The first thing which the story of Adam alayhi salam tells us, which helps us in our life, is that Allah has created us in a way that the angels has prostrated to us. They did sajda to the insan, to the Adam alayhi salam, which means that if we can use our full capacity, full energy, the things that are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can be a person who is greater than the angels. So this is not something which is unachievable. It is achievable. Therefore, our lifestyle should be in a way that angels should think that, or they wish to have a life like us. They wish to be like us. And there are many examples in the history that we can see that people were like this. The second thing is that remember that Satan is the enemy of Adam alayhi salam. The Satan who has said in the Quran that I will take them to the ashray, and I will definitely take them to the wrong path. We need to know Adam alayhi salam. We need to know his character, how he saved himself from the satanic propaganda later. So this is a lesson for us. Therefore, we must know about the prophets, and we must read about them and to follow their footsteps, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Role of arrogant powers, policies, and recent bitter events in Iran is obvious. This is the part of speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on October 3, 2022, during the joint graduation ceremony for the cadets studying in the academies of the Islamic Republic of Iran's armed forces. This ceremony was held in Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam University of Officer and Police Training. Our younger generation has progressed brilliantly in all fields and arenas up until today. God willing, they will continue to do the same in the future, whether it is to defend their homeland, to preserve security, or to help the resistance front throughout the entire region. And the great movement to defend the Holy Shrine, both in social services and in scientific developments, as you can see, advancements in any scientific field are in fact made by the youth. They are the ones who drive this movement. Furthermore, we have seen in religious ceremonies, such as the Arba'in Walk, have millions of young Iranians traveled the path from Najaf to Karbala, and how millions more walked inside the country itself. Those who could not attend the Arba'in Walk in that spiritual environment walked in different cities inside Iran instead.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
In the fields of production and innovation, as you can see on television, our youth are bringing something new to the country's manufacturing and industrial sectors every day. Everywhere you look, you see the exceptional presence of young people there. Whether it is in dealing with an epidemic, in a religious aid movement, cultural work, or in relief projects during natural disasters such as floods, earthquakes, and the like, this young person is not going to despair. This young person is not going to detach himself or herself from his or her values. This young person is an inexhaustible force on the field. And of course, the young, pious, revolutionary youth have been leaders in all these fields. This is the current situation of our young people. Well, with this point of view, if we look at your presence here, those who have gathered in the Imam Hassan Mushtaba University of Officer and Police Training, and also those who are hearing this speech in other universities, your presence and entry into the armed forces is a great asset.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The EU started out as a peace project. Some lawmakers say the bloc is becoming more authoritarian. A meeting of justice ministers on Friday heard at least €300 billion worth of Russian assets inside the EU have been frozen since March.
There are 1,359 individuals and companies on our sanctions list, with assets and financial resources all over the EU. We cannot let anything slip through the net.
With even more sanctions on the way for Moscow, EU officials are now using torture analogies.
Every time that there is a need, we turn the screw further.
But at what price? The EU's energy sanctions targeting Russia are strangling the bloc's economy. Rents and mortgages are rising steadily. Young people in precarious jobs are at greatest risk.
Very, very bad, really bad. It's like everybody knows somebody that lose a job, that lose that is their people losing houses, families losing houses.
It's quite depressing for us to think that, for example, as for me, I'm studying a degree and I'm nearly certain that I'm not going to find a job when I'm done with it.
EU social affairs ministers met here in Brussels on Friday.
Many people, many households are facing difficult moments, and we should leave nobody behind.
Charities say it's already too late for many and words need to be replaced by actions. At the same time, the EU is able to send billions of euro to the Ukrainian army and government. We do not hear anything about peace negotiations. Instead, EU leaders will meet here next Thursday to agree on more funding for Ukraine's army. On the same day, the European Central Bank will announce interest rates are to go up further. Critics say that priorities are all wrong. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
On Saturday, a string of anti-system parties labelled by the Italian media as the Forces of Dissent gathered in Rome to discuss the challenges being faced by Italy and the EU and future strategies. The meeting was attended by political groups including More Sovereign and Popular Italy, Reclaim Italy, an alternative, formations advocating for the protection of Italy's sovereign interests and for shielding a growing number of Italians who are paying a heavy toll to what they call a dictatorship of neoliberalism.
In short, we are under a dictatorship, a regime that has stripped us all of dignity, rights. We can't get decent jobs anymore. Our constitution has been vilified. Our youngest generations have been taught the wrong values.
Independent journalists and geopolitical analysts also attended the meeting. They slammed the EU for its vulnerability to corruption and NATO for its belligerent posture. They also argued that the energy crisis was purposely triggered to favor the energy giants and their shareholders.
NATO is primarily responsible for what's happening in Ukraine. A long-planned operation, which has also involved the U.S. Secret Services since the 2014 coup in Ukraine. We believe nations should reclaim their sovereignty and be free to strengthen ties with any country they want.
This affection for politics is running wild in Italy. The turnout for last September's general elections was about 64%, the lowest ever recorded, 9% down compared to the 2018 vote.
Our party was boycotted when we ran in the elections last September. The Italian media simply ignored us. Furthermore, about 4 out of 10 Italians did not vote, meaning that the current parliament only partially represents the will of the people.
Following the outcome of Italy's latest elections held in September, which saw a right-wing coalition led by Giorgia Meloni emerging as winners, all anti-system parties have remained out of the parliament. The once anti-establishment Five Star Movement managed to garner 18% of the votes. but its section in the parliament seemed to have lost both power and potential now that the party has moved towards more moderate stances. Max Civili, Rome.
Since the riots began in September, anti-Iran media has been depicting the situation as a violent crackdown on so-called peaceful protesters. For the past 2 months, they have been running a propaganda campaign to further pressure Iran under the pretext of violating human rights. But are these peaceful protesters? Iran's intelligence ministry has recently reported the confiscation of a huge cache of weapons and equipment used by terrorists. In fact, Iranian security forces have thwarted several arms smuggling operations and dismantled a number of operational cells affiliated with the terrorist organizations such as MKO. This comes as the illegal influx of weapons into the country is on the rise recently. The confiscated weapons were supposed to be transferred to Iran to be used in the recent riots. Last month, in an interview with the Persian service of the British state-funded broadcaster BBC, former White House National Security Advisor John Bolton said the, quote, Iranian opposition is now being armed with weapons. Bolton added that these arms are being smuggled into the country from the Iraq's Kurdistan region, praising the use of force against Iran's security forces. The recent foreign-backed riots in Iran have claimed hundreds of lives belonging to both security forces and ordinary people. In addition, by conducting acts of vandalism, violence, and insecurity, rioters have paved the way for separatist and terrorist groups to infiltrate the country and carry out brutal attacks against innocent people.
Smuggling huge amounts of weapons into Iran to be used in the recent foreign-backed unrest is merely aimed at undermining the country's security. But Iranian officials have time and again stated that Iran's security is a red line that no one is allowed to cross. Mahdi Abbasian, Tehran.
Lebanon has arrested 185 people suspected of working for the Israeli spy agency since October 2019, when the Arab country's ongoing economic crisis became apparent.
This is Israel's intelligence agency's invasion of the Lebanese virtual sovereignty. The Israelis took advantage of the economic crisis and the fact that the Lebanese are looking for job opportunities with US dollars coming from abroad. And so they created fake companies through which they acquired thousands of resumes from Lebanese people. They were able to contact any one of those job hunters in the guise of foreign companies, while in reality they were Israeli recruiters.
Lebanese security sources have told AFP that the number has increased dramatically, from only 4 or 5 arrests per year.
One of the most notable examples of this was the busting of over 35 Lebanese and Palestinians that were gathering intelligence on Hezbollah and of the Palestinian factions in Lebanon for Israel. Israel, again, used a lot of fake companies and front groups to trap those kind of in a desperate economic situation into accepting these fake front opportunities.
Out of the 185 people arrested since 2019, 165 have been prosecuted and 25 convicted and sentenced.
The economic collapse in Lebanon has taken its toll on the country in several ways, but it seems it's not the only reason for treason. Several collaborators admitted that they continued their communications with the Mossad out of sheer opposition to the resistance.
When we read the interrogation reports of those who were arrested, we understand that it was more than only giving intelligence. One of the suspects admits that he was asked to write articles aimed at sowing sedition amongst the Lebanese and inciting people against Hezbollah and resistance. They asked him, for example, to write articles which would give an impression that Hezbollah is linked to the Beirut port explosion in order to provoke hatred against the resistance movement.
Political analysts believe recruiting spies by the Israeli regime will continue since a military option is not on the table.
These kinds of more subtle forms of gaining influence in Lebanon, and especially putting people into a very desperate economic state and taking advantage of that, seems to both basically cut the losses on the military front that Israel and the U.S. Even know that it has unmatched against the resistance forces in the region.
Although Lebanon remains technically in a state of war with Israel, there has been no direct confrontation between the two sides since 2006. Nevertheless, Israel's espionage activities have never stopped. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
The 18th International Muslim Forum has summed up celebrations of the 1,100th anniversary of the adoption of Islam by the Volga, Bulgaria. Many religious figures addressed the International Forum. Russian Mufti Sheikh Ravil Gaynuddin called for a just world order from the standpoint of the East. Chairman of the Turkish Department of Religious Affairs, Ali Erbaş, spoke about the connection between justice and security. Chief Justice of Palestine, Mahmoud Al-Habash, accused Israel and the United States of violating international law. The main two words, justice and a new world order, became the leitmotif of the plenary session.
We have gathered here to raise the voice of justice and moderation, to exchange scientific opinions through dialogue. The Islamic State, the Muslims of Russia, all of us must stand together against the liberalism that they are trying to impose on us. This false world view is in fact engaged in the seizure of the world's material wealth and assets. Our joint cooperation should be directed against this upstart arrogance, despotism, and oppression of the liberal world. The Islamic principles of the world view are the values that the world could take as an example.
Back in 1881, the Russian Muslim thinker and educator Ismail B. Gasprinsky wrote that in the near future, quote, Russia will be destined to become one of the significant Muslim states, which will not in the least diminish its significance as a great Christian power. The participants of the forum are convinced that his dream is coming true today. Russian Muslims, hand in hand with their partners, are making a unique contribution to renewing the global discourse on justice. The rapprochement of the Islamic world with Russia and success in this matter is directly related to the openness of the Russian civilization to its Eastern heritage, including the spiritual tradition of Russian Muslims.
We are being imposed a globalist, neoliberal understanding of the modern world order. The imposition is very aggressive. They encroached on a family. Many have caved into these patterns of the new world order. The Islamic world, which reads the Quran and is charged with energy and the word of the Quran, is trying to resist and adjoin those centers that are able to challenge and protect humanity from destructive energy. Russia is the defender of the classical traditional order set forth in the sacred scriptures. Therefore, one must follow this path, not lose hope, not give up, because this is a Quranic instruction to unite and be a single organism, a single ummah.
The participants of the forum believe that the time has come to talk about a just world order not only from the standpoint of the West, but also from the East.
Russia is celebrating the 1,100th anniversary of the adoption of Islam by the people of Volga, Bulgaria, marking the importance of Islam in the country. This year is commemorated with the participation of representatives from dozens of Muslim countries during various events. The anniversary is also an opportunity for Russia to strengthen its ties with participating Muslim countries that have been isolated by the West. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
Kubashevsky District, Donetsk.